Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We're in the fourth week of the sermon series, Ears to Hear. Everyone say ears to hear. I hope you're developing ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Revelation 2:7. Do you have ears to hear? Through this series, we're looking at the parables that Jesus spoke. In week one, we looked at the parable of the sower. Week two was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Last week was the parable on persistent prayers. And today we'll be in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus teaches a series of parables, one after the other, three to be exact. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But how many know they all carry the same message? Lost things matter to our God. For the sake of time this morning, we're just going to go through the first two, the lost sheep and the lost coin, which ultimately represent lost people. How many know and understand that lost people matter to our God? Do we truly understand the heart of our Father? That lost people really do matter to our God. And how many would say that there's a lot of lost people in our world today? Let's bring it closer to home. Let's make it more personal. There's a whole lot of lost people in our world, in our lives, in our city, in our neighborhood, at our workplace, in our schools, maybe even in your home. People we share lunch with, we share office with, we share homes with, you might even share a bed with. Lost people matter to God. People that we know matter to our Father. The word lost comes from the Greek word apo. Everyone say apo. A-P-O, apo, but be careful when you say it because it sounds like something else. I developed a bad habit this week of labeling people apos. How many know any apos, lost people? Our neighborhood. Our city. If you know the statistics, less than 10% are churched in our city. So that means that more than 90% are unchurched. Apo, lost. Lost means away from God, or those who went astray from God. Being away and astray from God, we're helplessly and hopelessly lost, like the lost sheep and the lost coin. How many know that God didn't create us to live away or astray? He created us to live in relationship, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to commune with Him daily in the middle of the garden. He created you to live in constant communion with Him. But sin through Adam separated us from the God who created us. So there's this separation that only Jesus can fix. That's why Jesus is called the way. He made the way for everyone who was away and astray. And we were all away and astray at some point. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. But praise God, we found the way. Amen. If you know the way, say amen. There is no other way. There's only one way. The title of today's sermon is Lost But Found. Everyone say lost but found. How many were lost but found? How many, like sheep, have gone astray? How many has ever lost something? How many has ever given up on something you lost? I just can't search anymore. I'm done. There's nothing like the feeling of finding something that you've lost, especially if it has some value to you, or if it's something that you personally created. Now think about it. Your heart is invested in your creation, and you'll do whatever it takes to get it back. You'll search to the ends of the earth, tear up your home, your car, your desk, until you find it. The creation is close to the Father's heart. The Father is invested in His creation because He created us. We were created in the image of God, and in the image of God we were created. So therefore, the Father is invested, and He did everything to get us back. He sent His one and only begotten Son to a bloody cross, and Jesus did everything willing to get us back. He willingly went to the cross. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, verse 1. The Bible says that many dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often gathered around to listen as Jesus taught the people. My prayer is that week after week after week, many dishonest and notorious sinners would gather at Crossroads to hear Jesus speak. Verse 2, but this raised concerns with the Jewish religious leaders and experts of the law. And when those notorious sinners gather at Crossroads to hear Jesus speak, guess what? The religious are going to be offended. It's going to raise some concerns. Come on. Did you see the way she dressed? Did you hear what came out of his mouth walking into the sanctuary today? Did you see the cigarette butt that he threw in our parking lot? Religious is getting offended right now. That's okay. How dare they sit beside me? One's leaving. Indignant. They grumbled and complained, saying, look at how this man associates with all these notorious sinners and welcomes them all to come to him. I mean, praise God that sinners are welcome. The church shouldn't just be a club for the already convinced. Jesus was willing to risk the religious for the lost. Church, we have to be willing to risk the religion and the religious for the lost. Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that right now that you would speak a word in season to your people. Oh, God, you would cut through religion and through religious practices. You would speak revelation to your people, to your church in this day before the return of Christ. God, that you would prepare your body to become spotless, but yet hearts for those who are covered with spots. God, that you would give us a desire and a hunger to go after the lost and to win them to you. God, give us a heart after your heart. Speak today. Bring revelation. Bring inspiration. Bring motivation. Bring conviction to each and every person in this place. Let no ear not hear from you today, God. Our ears are open and ready. In your mighty name, amen. So the religious leaders were complaining that Jesus associated with lost people. So in response to their complaints, what did he do? He told these three parables: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. At one point, they even called Jesus a friend of sinners. Aren't you glad Jesus is a friend of sinners? Jesus said, I came to find lost people. How many know he's on the look today? He's looking for lost people. He's looking in this house. My prayer is that there would be some lost people found in this house today. Each and every week, I pray that you, as the body of Christ, would go out and draw men and women, compel them to come into the house so that their lives might be forever changed. I pray that that would happen not just in here, but on your work, in your workplaces, in your homes, at lunch. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. And how many know the mission has never changed? You need to circle three words in that scripture: seek, save, lost. The mission has never changed. Jesus calls us to seek and to save the lost. That's our mission. That's why he came. He came to find lost people. And Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Jesus said in John 3:17 that the Father sent him into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And in John 20:21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Why did the Father send Jesus? To find the lost. Why did Jesus send us? To find the lost. What is our mission, church? To find the lost. Too many churches celebrate finding the already found. How many like to play hide and seek? Okay, when you were younger. All of us, right? How about tag? It's like we were sent to earth for this great big combined game of hide and seek and tag. Our mission, church, is to go find the lost, tag them, tag, you're it. That's disciples making disciples. Our mission, my mission, your mission is to go find, not go hide. It's to go find. Listen, the world is good at hiding. They're good at playing their part. And what is their part? To hide. They're good at being lost. They don't need any help with that. The game is the lost hide and the found find. Come on, that's the game. The lost, that's the way I wrote it earlier, but then God changed it. Lost people hide, found people find. But the game is the lost hide and the found find. But too many believers are hiding instead of finding. Hiding in churches, hiding in circles, hiding their faith. Too many believers hide their faith on their job. You've had the conversation, I didn't even know you were a Christian, bro. Ouch. Why not? Hiding your faith. Too many Christian teenagers hide their faith at school, on the field. Why? Point number one, we're called to reveal our faith, not conceal it. I said you're called to reveal your faith, believer, not conceal it. Remember, Jesus said, let your light shine in such a way that your Father in heaven is glorified, Matthew 5:15. And then that little song we learned in Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. I think that was my favorite Sunday school song. I mean, think about it. A little boy being able to scream at the top of his lungs in the middle of class, no! Interrupting the adult Bible study, yes! My favorite. The only way to find lost people in a dark world is to let your light shine. It's like playing hide and seek in the dark, teenagers. You got to have a flashlight. Otherwise, you're not finding anybody. Come on, let that hit home. The only way to find lost people on your job is to shine the light. Let's go to verse 3. So Jesus told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching until he finds it? This really offends a lot of religious people. This verse. Will he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching until he finds it? Point number two, the good shepherd never stops searching. I said the good shepherd never, ever stops searching. Verse 4 says the shepherd searches until he finds it, the sheep. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Lost sheep matter to the good shepherd. And the good shepherd never stops searching for those lost sheep. No matter how many sheep the good shepherd has, they're all significant to the good shepherd. Every sheep matters to the good shepherd. Well, they don't matter to me, Pastor. They matter to him. I want to teach these two parables parallel because the second parable only has three verses. The lost coin only has three verses. Verse 8. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? Katie, can you bring me a coin, please? The shepherd searched the field. Thank you. At the end of service, you're all going to walk out with this gold coin that is real. $100 and $200 gold coins only cost me $6. Gold has lost its value. Don't try to take it to the bank. So the shepherd searched the field while the woman searched the house. And notice the Bible says that she swept the house. I want you to get a mental picture in your mind. The woman swept the house, every room, every corner, every section of the house. She swept and she swept. I'm pretty good at sweeping, right? She swept. Why? Because the coin was valuable to her. It didn't matter that she had 9 already. It was the one that was important to her, right? Boom. Two different parables, different contexts, but the same message. The lost matter to God. The lost matter to God. One was a lost sheep in the field, while the other was a lost coin in the house. Think about it. Because there's lost people in the world, and there's lost people in the house. How many know that there's lost people sitting in churches all over the world today? That's not to be celebrated, but should be acknowledged. Because whether they're lost in the world or in the church, they need to be found. And God calls you and I to find them, to do our part. Go ye into all the world and find my lost sheep. Find my lost coins. Why is the coin so valuable? She has 9 others. Think about it. We don't know how much money she has. We don't know if this was her life savings. We don't know if this was her retirement. But it was valuable because it was lost. But ultimately, the story points to people. Jesus wants us to understand that like the coin, we are of value to him. Invaluable. There's no price on a lost sheep. They mean so much to him. In fact, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He was willing to give his life for the lost sheep. How important is the one, church? Just as important as the 99. Just as important as the 9. In fact, finding the lost coin wasn't just important, it was imperative. The Bible says that they searched until they found the one. How many's ever given up on searching something that you've lost? I just can't find it. I'm tired of searching. I give up. This week, JoJo, my youngest, lost his wallet. And so we sit down, because he's crying at this point. I lost my wallet. I can't find it. I've looked everywhere. And so I'm trying to trigger some memories, and I sit down with him. I said, JoJo, what's in the wallet? What do you have in the wallet? Well, I've got 10 bucks. That's valuable to him, right? I've got to find it, Dad. I've got to find it, but I've looked everywhere. Did you look in your closet? Yes. Did you look under your bed? Yes. Did you look in every drawer? Yes. I said, okay, well, let's go look in the car. Because Carson told us the last time she saw it was in the car. So we went and searched the car. No wallet. He gave up. How many know the shepherd never gave up? The woman never gave up. God never gave up on you. And he never gives up on them. He never, ever, ever gives up on them. Because the lost matter to our God. The good shepherd never stops searching. Will he not leave the 99 to find the one? The lost are so imperative to Jesus that he can't stop thinking about them. The Bible says in Isaiah 49:15, that he never forgets them. And the reason he never forgets them is found in verse 16. Let's read verse 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, see, I have written your name on the palm of my hands. Can you picture that? Come on, just imagine the Good Shepherd writing every name of every person that has ever been born on the palm of his hands. He could never forget you. He could never forget. It's on the palm of his hands. Another translation says it's carved in his hands. It's engraved. It's inscribed. The Amplified Classic says it's tattooed. But don't use that verse to justify any tattoos. I'm not going there. Your name is written and engraved on the palm of Jesus' hands, the same hands that took the nails. Now let this hit home. The nails carved our names in his hands. the nails carved our name in his hands. How could he forget? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And it was through his death on the cross that we're saved. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lost people are imperative to God. But how important are they to us? Think about it. Our actions reveal how important they are. Your actions reveal their importance. Do you search until you find them? Or did you give up after one invite to church? Come on, I invited them to church, Pastor, but they didn't come. I did my part. I'm not inviting them again. I washed my hands of that person. Or was it a couple of social media invites and you think you're good? It's not going to cut it, church. Let me put it this way. How important would it be if you were the one lost sheep or the one lost coin? Now we've moved from important to imperative. It wasn't just important that you were found, Gwen. It was imperative that God, the good shepherd, never gave up on searching for you, right? It wasn't just imperative, Joel, that you were found. I mean, important. It was imperative. We were all either the one lost sheep or the lost coin at one point. It's not just important that we were found. It was imperative. Joe, you were one lost sheep, bro. But thank God the good shepherd never stopped searching for you. If you've been touched or impacted by overcomers, let me see your hands. In fact, why don't you stand to your feet for a moment? The Bible says, give honor where honor is due. Come on, let's give them a great big hand. Lives. You can be seated. Lives that were touched because the good shepherd never gave up on you. 22 years? Is that how long you've been doing Overcomers? 22 years. Wow. Good shepherds never give up on the sheep. Joe, you're a good shepherd. You're a good shepherd. Karen, you're a good shepherd. They split up, if you don't know it. They men in one section, women in the other. Joe leads the men. Actually, Joe leads the women and Karen leads the men, right? Vice versa. If you need to overcome anything in your life, and we all need to overcome areas of our life, see Joe and Karen. They might can help you. It was imperative that the good shepherd never gave up on you guys. Think about it. Where did he rescue you? Where did he find you, Joe? In prison. Wow. Both of you. In prison. So that he could send you to people that were in prison. To rescue them. Both literally and spiritually. Because prison isn't just literal. How many know unforgiveness is a prison? Hate is a prison. Anger is a prison. Sin, pornography, lust, all prisons. What about gluttony? It's prison. Just as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sent Joe. If you grew up in church, you were possibly the lost coin. How many grew up in church just as lost as the world? No. At one point, we were the one lost sheep or the one lost coin. But thank God the good shepherd never gave up. It was imperative that he found me. It was imperative that we find the Joes of the world, the Karens, the Sams, the Nicks, the Tims, the Beckys, the Cindys, the Jennys, the Isaacs, the Harrys. I'm not going to mention all of your names. The Todds, the Angies. It's imperative. Think about it. It's not just important, it's imperative. How different would your life be today if you weren't found? Come on, think of where you would be, the mess you would be in. It's imperative. We are imperative to Him, and they should be imperative to us. Will we leave the 99 to go find the one? 1 Peter 5:2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Somebody needs to highlight that verse, eager. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Because you're willing to serve the house of God. Not because you're being used or abused, but because you're willing to offer the gifts, the talents, the ability that you have to give it back to the house of God. Not because you have to, Becky. In fact, there's a lot of things that I asked her to do and she turns me down. Because it's not what God called you to do. I'm trying to push someone else's work on the willing. Because she's got a willing heart. And she's willing to serve almost every time I ask. But I appreciate that willingness to serve. But only when it's in accordance to the will of God. But how many know sometimes we got to put on some dirty gloves that we don't want to? And she does. She does. Most of you are willing. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, he's the chief, and he's not just a good shepherd, he's the chief shepherd, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never, ever, 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 everybody say never, fade. Point number 3, wandering sheep need searching shepherds. Wandering sheep need searching shepherds. In this passage, Peter was talking to the elders and the leaders of the church, and he said, be shepherds to God's people. But he was only asking the leaders and the elders of the church to do what Jesus asked of him. Remember when Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but 3 times? Right after that, Jesus met Peter on the beach and cooked him breakfast, beachside. A good shepherd never stops searching. We're talking about Peter. It just messed everything up. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. But the good shepherd never stops searching. He made him breakfast, and if you remember the conversation, Jesus reminded him 3 times of what his calling was. He said, feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter. And one more time, he said, Peter, feed my sheep. And so Peter passes on this instruction to you and I. Be shepherds of God's flock. Because you're all called to be a shepherd in some way or another. You might not be called to a platform. You might not be called to a position or a title. But you're called to be shepherds in some way. You're called to lead someone in some way or another. Each and every one of you. It might just be one person that you're called to shepherd. I don't think it is. I think it's much more, but even if it's one, you shepherd the one because it's a calling upon your life. You're called to be a shepherd, and maybe it's your home. Fathers, you're called to shepherd your homes above and beyond anything else. Mothers, you're called to be shepherds in the home. Those are the most important people that you will ever, ever shepherd. Maybe it's a business, an organization. Maybe it's a church. Maybe it's a church plant. Come on. How many in this room are outside of Council Bluffs? There's 6 church plants right there. Maybe God's calling you. Man. Be shepherds to God's people. Because wandering sheep need shepherds. Wandering sheep need shepherds that are willing to go find them. And how many know wandering sheep need to be found? They're worth being found. Think about people that used to sit by you, used to worship with you, used to go to church, Sunday school, that are out there wandering around because they were hurt, because God let them down, because life happened. They're wandering sheep. But wandering sheep need to be found. I said they need to be found. And remember, when you're out there and you see that person that used to belong to the family of God, they used to be a part of the flock, remember, that's the one. That's the one that Jesus was referring to. That's the one that needs to be found. Remind yourself that that's the one. That's the one that we have to drop everything and go rescue and go after. Will we leave the 99 to go find the one? Verse 5. This is from the Passion Translation. It says, with exuberant joy, he raised it up and placed it on his shoulders, carrying it back with cheerful delight. Just get that picture in your mind. What a beautiful picture of the Good Shepherd. The shepherd searches until he finds the sheep, and when he finally finds the sheep, he picks the sheep up. Now, think of the symbolism. He picks the sheep up because wandering sheep can either get injured or killed. He picks the wandering sheep up, puts him or her on his shoulders, and carries them back home. Beautiful picture. This is a picture of salvation. This is a picture of grace. We're saved by grace alone. Think about it. A sheep can't save itself. It takes a shepherd. Sheep need shepherds. Without, they wander off, injured, and possibly killed. How many know that sheep are prey and they have a predator? John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life and give you life to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is praying for you because the enemy is praying on you. Jesus will never stop praying for you because the enemy will never stop praying on you. The good shepherd gives life, but the thief takes life. 1 Peter 5:8, the devil, the enemy, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's a predator looking for prey, and wandering sheep are prey and have no protection. King David said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Amplified says, to guide me, to feed me, and to shield me. But then in verse 4, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember that verse? How many has ever been comforted by a rod? But remember, spare the rod, spoil the child. See, this rod is for protection, but it's also for correction. His rod isn't just to protect you, it's to correct you at times, because believe it or not, I don't care how strong you are in your faith, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you need corrected at times. And if you're in a position where you've arrived, that's where you need corrected the most. What is your reception to correction? Come on, think about it. Do you receive it or do you reject it? Do you have a teachable spirit, and do you allow the correction of the Father, or do you reject it? You have to receive it. The rod is for protection, but also correction. And so if you're at that point where you say, Pastor, I'm good, I don't need corrected, I've got it all together, that's where you need corrected the most. Because remember, the Bible says, what comes before a fall? Pride. What is pride? I don't need help. I don't need corrected. I know it all. And then the staff is for direction, but also correction. Come on, think about it. How does a shepherd use a staff? Most of us don't know, but when a sheep gets out of line, he takes that staff and pow. How many like to be tapped by the good shepherd's staff? Get back in line. This is where. And at times he grabs them. The heel, or hopefully not the neck, but if he must. 1 Peter 2:25. This is from the Voice translation. Says, there was a time when you were like sheep that wandered from the field. And this comes also from Isaiah 53. But now you have returned to the shepherd. Lost, but found. We were lost, but praise God we were found. We were blind, but now we see. We were away and astray, but thank God we found Jesus the way, the only way to the Father. Or was it the other way around, the way found us? Verse 6, and when he gets home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. Let me finish my JoJo story. So JoJo gave up on searching for his wallet. On Saturday morning, after I did my run through here, I went home and washed all the cars. That means I vacuumed. So I had to move all the seats. And when I moved up one seat, guess what I found? Earlier, I asked all the kids to come help me. Only one came and helped me. Guess who it was? JoJo. If he wouldn't have helped, I would have never gave him the wallet. I took the money out and threw the wallet away. As I'm vacuuming, I'm like, JoJo, come here. I need you to vacuum this spot under here because I can't get to it. Your little arms can get under there. And he looks down. He's like, my money, my wallet. Lost, but found. Verse 7. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. To repent means to turn from sin, but it also means to return to God. I wish there was a statistic of how many people are saved on average daily. I wish there was a statistic of how many people repent daily of their sins. Because think about it, people aren't just saved on Sundays. People aren't just saved at a church. They're not just saved between the hours of 10 and 11:30. People are saved daily. I've heard of people saved in a public bathroom. And praise God for the man or the woman that's willing to serve in that ministry. I've heard of people saved on a bus, on the side of the road, at lunch, in a cafeteria, in a restaurant, in the gym, in the locker room, on the field, in the bleachers. I've heard of people being saved in the middle of the night. Just them and God. No one was there to lead them. I've heard of people being saved at midnight while brushing their teeth. That was my pastor's wife growing up. At about midnight, she was brushing her teeth as a young girl, and the Holy Spirit fell on her. And she was saved. She grew up Mennonite. Didn't know this Jesus that we knew. But seeds were planted. Holy Spirit moved. God works in mysterious ways, church. In mysterious places, in mysterious times, and through mysterious people like Todd. He's a good shepherd, never gives up on his sheep. And think about it. People repent daily. And think about all the different time zones that we live in. What does that mean? Where are you going with this, Pastor? To me, that means that there's a continual celebration going on in the heavens. That there's a continual nonstop party going on in the heavens because of all the different time zones, and people are saved in different places, different times, and in different ways. So there must be a continual celebration in the heavens. At Texas Roadhouse, every hour they play a certain song, and when that song is played, all the wait staff has to stop what they're doing and line up and dance. They do a line dance. How many's witnessed it? I talked to a former employee of Roadhouse, and they said that it gets old. But I promise you, it never gets old to the angels. They never get tired of celebrating the lost being found. They never get tired of celebrating sinners repenting of their sins. But just like Texas Roadhouse, I believe, this is just my theory, I believe that by now that the angels have some type of routine. I mean, come on, think about it. They celebrated throughout time, sinners being saved, lost being found, people repenting of their sins. Maybe it's a song, it's their cue, their signal. There's got to be some kind of cue, right? They're not like God. They're not all-knowing. There has to be a certain song that's played over the PA in heaven. Maybe it's David on the harp. Or better yet, Gabriel blowing something on the trumpet. Think about it. Maybe it's the ding of a bell. But there's some type of cue, and when that cue is given, what if the angels line up and do a line dance? Come on, is it the Cotton Eye Joe? The electric slide? The cha-cha slide? The Macarena? Come on, picture it. The angels are celebrating, and maybe for you, Rachel, it was the Cupid Shuffle. No, better yet, the boot scooting boogie. The Bible says that the angels throw a party every time a sinner repents. But I imagine that that's talking about first-time salvations. Go ahead, if you're going to clap, clap. Every time a sinner repents, I imagine it's talking about first-time salvations. But imagine that if it was every time someone repented of their sin. Not going to mention any names, Jeff, but you might wear the angels out. There's a lot of Jeffs in here, so I can get away with that. Think about it. If every time you repented of a sin, the angels had to get up, stop what they're doing, and celebrate, they might get tired of celebrating you. They never get tired. It's a continual celebration. Because there's value in each sheep repenting, in each lost soul being found, in each sinner repenting of their sins. They never get tired. Verse 9, and I'm going to wrap this thing up. And when she found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I found the lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That is, changes their inner self, their old way of thinking, regrets, past sins, lives their life in a way that proves repentance and seeks God's purpose for their life. If you'll stand to your feet. The coin was lost or found. We were lost, but praise God, we were found. Where would you be today if the Good Shepherd had given up? on searching for you. See, we're no longer the one. You're no longer the one sheep. You're no longer the one coin. Now you are the nine or the 99. We're no longer lost, so now we no longer need to be found. But we need to be finding the lost. Because found people find people. It's time for us to go find. I promise you, there is one, if not many, many more lost coins in your life. People you live with, people you work with, people you go to school with, people in your neighborhood, your next door neighbor, and they're worth being found. Listen, we're talking about souls, destinies, eternal life. We're talking about families, marriages, children, and teenagers that will be forever affected if their mom or their dad is found by good shepherds. As you leave today, you're going to receive a coin. I'm going to ask you to take that home and pray over that coin. And as God lays someone on your heart, I'm going to ask you to re-gift this. Only to lost people, either away or astray. And use this coin to birth salvation. Read them the three scriptures. Luke 15, 8 through 10. Simple. Will you go find? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Before we go into this last song and close out, there's some of you here today that would say, Pastor, I am a lost sheep. I am a lost coin. I don't feel like I'm worth anything, though. See, God gave me this message for you and for you alone. He's willing to risk everything to reach you. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm the lost sheep, I'm the lost coin, and God spoke to me through this sermon today, I want you to raise your hand. I got you, ma'am. I got you. I got you, sir. Sir, in the back. Ma'am. I got you. You're not just important, you're imperative. The heart of the Father beats with your name. Jesus engraved your name on his hand. As he went to the cross, the Good Shepherd laid down his life so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Right now, we're going to lead those lost sheep into the fold. We're going to welcome them into the family of God. Father, right now, I pray that you would begin to work on every heart in this room. God, every mind. And God, that you would remove those thoughts that the enemy has plagued your people with. No good, no value, worthless. Can't accomplish anything. Not worth going another day. Not worth living. And God, you would begin to remove every lie and attack of the enemy from these sheep and they would understand, God, that they are most valuable. There's no amount of money that could be put on their life. You gave your life so that they might have life. Right now, God, I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to ask everyone to just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, today you opened up my ears, my spiritual ear, and I hear you calling my name. I see how much you love me. And I ask you to remove every lie, every thought, every doubt that is contrary to your word over me. And right now, I want to ask you to come into my heart. Make me a brand new person. Forgive me of every sin. Last week, last year, last night, and from this moment forward, I commit my heart, my mind, and my life to you. Lead me, guide me, and shield me. Thank you for saving my soul. The angels in heaven throwing a great big party.